I sent out a tweet saying that we'd be going live soon.
And we get 1,000 people liking it? Two people liking it?
No, just one. Just Andrew, one, okay. Andrew Campbell, he liked it and retweeted it.
Andrew.
So I'm going to hit him up now that we're live. I'll get the link.
He better be listening. He better know what he's liking. That's Andrew, you better be, you know, better be liking it because you're addicted to our content.
In the tweet, yeah, I got nothing to say there. In the tweet, I said, you know, grab a warm drink and hang out. And then I laughed and I tweeted anyway because I know a guy who will not ingest any warm liquids.
What?
He says he can't do it. He cannot ingest warm liquid.
Wait, physically or mentally?
Oh, no, mentally. Like, I guess if you poured it down his throat, he's not going to die. But he's like, I don't eat soup. I don't drink hot chocolate. I don't drink coffee. Everything.
Wow.
Drinks. Any liquid that he intakes is not warm. It's all cool. He can't do it. And he said when he was a kid, he tried drinking the warm stuff and he's like, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. So I'm not going to use his real name, but I'll use his nickname. It's Watts. Word up, Watts.
I've never met this person. I don't mean the actual person. I just mean I've never met the person that doesn't do warm drinks. I get it. Why not?
I'll never forget. It was we were at the rink. He's a hockey dad. We're at the rink, and it was like a 6:30 a.m. practice. So all the parents are like, everybody's kind of half in, like, of course. We're not all awake yet, right?
Yeah, you're dogged.
And he's telling us this. And I'm just staring at him. He's like, what? I'm like, dude, I've never heard this before. I'm like, is it some kind of disorder in the DSM-4? He's like laughing at me because he was a teacher.
Obviously, he was a pretty teacher. Niche. That's a pretty niche joke.
Yeah. So, and hey, I was flexing my DSM, my understanding of DSM. So when do I get to do that, right? So
no.
I'm like, dude, is this like a disorder in the DSM-4? And he's laughing at me. He's like, I don't know. I just don't like warm liquid. I'm like, okay. And we're all just staring at him. And half the dads are holding their warm drink.
Of course they are. Like,
they're just like holding it, looking at him, looking at the drink, looking at
that
him.
That crappy drink coffee.
Oh, actually, no, dude. It was all brought in from the outside.
Okay. And actually, apologies to whatever rink you're at. I'm imagining that rink coffee's gotten a lot better since I was a kid.
And here's the other thing. Before COVID, they didn't open their canteen most of the time anyway. So if you wanted a coffee, there was some weird coffee machine down the hall that I never saw anybody use. But like the canteens don't open the way that they used to at the rink. And now with COVID, canteens are a thing of the past. I think they'll never open a canteen again. I mean, I've got some great memories of, so I grew up in Ottawa on the south side, and Leitrim Arena was my home arena. And Leitrim was known for their French fries. They had the bomb French fries. And I wouldn't get them often, but, you know, sometimes after a game, my dad would be like, do you want some fries? I'm like, yeah, I want some fries. So we get some fries from the Leitrim Cantina, and it was the Leitrim Canteen. It was great. Best fries ever when I was playing minor hockey. But, so I laughed when I sent out the tweet. It didn't stop me from sending it out, but I was like, warm drinks, ha-ha. Watts would not like this at all.
Mm-hmm. The rink I was at in Oshawa, the one that we went to all the time, was I think it was Harmon Park.
Okay.
Harmon Park. And I don't remember the fries. I do remember Harmon Park, though. I remember always, that was sort of like the Sunday afternoons. I told you about the experience with Mama's Donuts, going to the local. My local was the donut shop that my dad would take me to. So that was always cool. I don't remember the fries. I can say that I don't remember the fries.
This reminds me of one of the first times we met up. You came.
Oh,
I was in Newmarket. My son had a hockey tournament, and I was basically living at the rink for that day.
Yep.
And you kindly came over and hung out for an hour and a bit while my son was between games. That was cool. That was fun. Do you remember the name of that rink? That was a nice
place. That's the Ray Twinney.
Okay.
Yeah, Ray Twinney that you were, the fine Ray Twinney that you were at. That's a good joint. That's where they have, like, that's a major hub in my neck of the woods. That's where, well, right now, or at least recently, that was like the big COVID vaccination hub. That's where peeps were going to get their, get the vax.
Oh, I could see it being a place. Yeah, because there was a pool there too, right?
My kids had done some. We did our bout of swimming lessons there.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a good. We have quite a few around town. Quite a few places that are available to us. What was that? Sorry, was that a tournament you were here for? What was it?
Yeah, it was a hockey tournament that my son was in. Here, let's make this even more interesting.
Okay.
Let's layer this.
Is that even possible? I don't even know if that's not even possible. But try.
Okay, I'll try. So you came, we hung out in the stands, then you left. And when you left, we walked out. I walked you out, and when I came back in, the coach of the hockey team says to me, "Who are you talking to?" I'm like, "Oh, that's my buddy Chris." And he goes, like, is he a teacher? I'm like, he is a teacher. And the coach is waiting for me to give him more information, but I'm not. And he goes to me, like, did you guys meet at teacher's college? I said, no. He's like, how do you know the guy? I said, we do a podcast on Saturday mornings. And he's like, you do a what? Like, every time I would respond to him, it was a layer of more confusion for this guy. I'm like, every Saturday morning, we get onto the computer, we turn on this program that allows us to record us talking, and it records the video, and we talk about the week as educators, dads, whatever. And he's looking at me, and I said, he lives in Newmarket, so he came to see me here because I couldn't leave the rink, because we didn't have enough time to leave the rink. And he's like, okay. And he just turns around, he walks away. And because it's weird, right? Well, it's not that weird anymore. But at the beginning of the internet, at the beginning of things like this, at the beginning of social media, some would categorize it as weird that people would actually meet each other and become friends.
And some people still are at the beginning of the internet.
That's true. Some people are.
Yeah, that's where they are.
Like,
and you met him where he was, as teachers say.
Full disclosure.
There we go.
Full disclosure. When I meet people and chit chat with them, and then like find out, well, how did you meet your partner? And they say online. It still freaks me out. It's still weird to me, which is interesting, right? Because I met you online. Here we are. Every week we talk, and you've come here. I've gone to your place. Like, people are like, yeah, I met online. We met online, and now we're married. I'm like, holy cow. It's just, I don't know why that realm of the online world freaks me out still, that you can meet someone and they could be your life partner. I don't know what it is about that. But I'm there. So people, walk with me. Don't judge me. Well, you can judge if you want, but support me through this cognitive dissonance that I'm experiencing.
You're cognitive dissonating very well.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, dude, how was your week? How was your work week?
Well, that's, yeah, here, I'll put this out into the world. So when I reached out to you, and I had several days where there was no, I think when, I guess it's in the topic of work-life balance, and I had very specific days where one side of that balance was just super awesome, and the other side, not so much. And there was no consistency to it, which was kind of interesting because I felt like I was really trying on both fronts. Like, I know that it sounds almost kind of weak, I think, to say I was really trying, but I felt like I was putting my best energy, my focus, and still I wasn't equally keeping up. Friday was a good day. Yep, Friday was a good day. Friday was the first day in many days, I would say so far, at least in October and for the better part of September, that I made it through my list. I've talked before about protecting the weekend and trying to spread the workout throughout the week so I don't have one day that's really intense work and one day that's just like no work. I find for me that's not a great way to flow through the week. So I try to chip away at it all week. And that wasn't something, I wasn't like that as a kid. I wasn't like that in my early years. I would tend to just put things off and then kind of just get close to the deadline and deliver. So working on, you know, the whole kind of protecting the weekend means every day of the week kind of chipping away at stuff. And it wasn't, you know, Friday was a day where I actually made it through my list. And there was some leftover stuff, but it was also just somehow the day clicked. And I'm driving home. I was trying to really figure out what was the thing that gave me more access to the resources that I need. How did I get more time? Because there's only so many hours in the day, right? I think. Maybe it was compliance. It was compliance. Everyone kind of did what they were supposed to do, at least according to my model of a workday, which kind of meant I could do what I needed to do. So the students were, you know, self-regulating well, getting the work done, participating. Do I say synergy? Like we were just, everyone was a good piece in the machine on Friday. So like Friday, yesterday. So I think that was kind of like, I'm glad my week ended like that because I was really, I feel like I was like a bouncy ball all week. And not really knowing what was driving. Like I didn't know what was throwing me around. I just had the sense of bouncing. It could also be a little bit of that positive energy that individuals get just before a longish weekend. I don't know if people are kinder or nicer or more patient or maybe distracted, sort of like their heads in another place, which keeps them from doing too much problematic stuff in this place in school. I don't know, man. I had a really interesting, can I mention one more thing? This was kind of a cool moment. So part of my Y call period, maybe I got to frame that a little bit. So in Wired DSB, we do something called Y calls. So we're doing a hybrid type learning. What that means is we have a week one, week two. During week one, we have period one and two. In week two, we have period three and four. So it's a four period day split over 2 weeks. For some people, it's a little bit like a strange mashup of a quadmester, I guess. That's one way to look at it. Because of that, you're there all morning and then all afternoon. They have to figure out how to give educators breaks from their classes so that you're not actually in a classroom for more minutes in the day than the contract allows. So what that means is someone comes in and relieves you. So it could be at the beginning or the end of the period. So I go in and I cover the first segment. So each period's broken into four segments. I go in and I do the first segment of a course. It's a First Nation Studies course. And it's a grade 11 course, and it's interesting to be in there. It's been interesting to, I guess, to lead off any course that you're not really, I have no formal training in it. What my degree is in isn't even necessarily in what I'm currently teaching, but as far as that extended amount of, training, like I'm not trained to do an English course or a math course. Everything I've kind of picked up along the way. And some of my First Nations wisdom has come from people and hearing stories. And of course, there's professional development that happens. So yesterday was interesting. So I try to, whenever I go in, I'm in there for the first, I forget what it is, like 37.5 minutes. So I take care of attendance. We have the national anthem happen. Sometimes there's some announcements. And then I look to see what the teachers posted on the classroom. And I try and figure out, how do I on-ramp the kids into this? So how can I get them kind of primed for when the teacher comes in, the actual course teacher comes in? And I've done a bunch of different things with them. But yesterday, I asked them about what their response to thank you is. And we talked a little bit about what those different responses are. The students relayed how in different contexts they'll say different things. They relayed that depending on the relationship they have with the person that says thank you to them, they might say something different. They relayed that depending their mindset, they may say something different. So it was everything from cheers to no worries, no problem. A couple people mentioned that they will say the formal, you are welcome. Some of them give thumbs up. Some of them said, yeah, I just kind of look at the person. I was like, whoa, okay. I guess that's a response too. There was a whole bunch of them. And I brought them back to, I saw something in some of this other stuff. So I've been there for the whole semester so far, right? So I can look back and see other stuff that's posted up in the classroom. And so I gave to them, I said, have you seen this word yet? And I put up the word miigwech, which I got to throw, hat tip out to Pam Agua, who, we're friends and walking buddies, going for walks. And I can remember there was a moment, I don't know, I can't remember if it was text. I don't remember where Pam and I were communicating. And there was something that happened between us. And I think I felt compelled to write, thank you, miigwech, back to Pam. I paused over the actual the posting of that. Part of it, I was starting from the point of view, is like, is this something that I'm sort of permitted to say? So from outside the in-group, am I permitted to use this language? I think since then I've landed on, if you're respectful and delivering it in an earnest and honest way, it is not much different than if you are in Quebec and you say merci, or if you're in Spain or Italy and you would say, grazie, gracias. Like, it's you're being respectful and trying to communicate in the local language. That was the first part. And Pam kind of echoed that a little bit, but it was more the next question that I was curious about, because I said, I have heard miigwech mentioned, but I don't know the call and response nature of it. Because you say, thank you and you're welcome. So there's a call and a response. There's sort of, you close the deal. And Pam had said the response to miigwech is miigwech. I was like, yeah. And I had to pause. I'm like, wait, so you say thank you to thank you. And Pam's like, yeah. I said, does that ever get confusing in some situations where people just won't stop thanking each other? And, we had a couple kind of chuckles out of that, because you can. Just that sort of like that, the gratitude is shown over and over. And I'm imagining, in much way I can remember, my grandmother one point sort of saying thank you to the point of like, you just sort of get exhausted by sort of like, it was so big of a thank you. You realize you're almost like being told to stop saying you're welcome, right? Okay, I'm going to leave you with your thank you. Grandma, you win. And I sort of imagine that situation maybe amongst people trying to like, get the last thank you in, because it's, you want to be the one that said the last thank you. But it was interesting to put it back to the crew, the kids in the morning, because I said, what I really, really appreciate about what you introduced here is the relationship between thank you and you're welcome. And some versions of thank you, there's a totally different relationship that you're agreeing to. And as we pulled that apart a little bit, we sort of talked about one, you know, a possible backstory for your welcome, which you know, the students sort of felt it was a little bit more of a bureaucratic response, as in you're welcome. So go to a coffee shop. Someone says, thank you for my coffee. Person says, you're welcome. The loose translation meaning you're welcome to come here and buy another coffee. So here's the place that you have to come back to get the specific thing that you need. And you can only get it from me. What I've learned about the Miigwech is that that power dynamic isn't a part of it. You're thankful because you got what you needed, but it isn't the deeper layer of, it's from the community. It's almost like you're thanking the community that you were able to receive what you needed when you needed it. So the idea of the ownership of the thank you and your welcome is not the same. It's not the same. And it really destabilizes and almost completely break that bureaucratic colonialist idea of you can only come here and get this coffee from me, right? I have a low level understanding of this. And I felt it was a part of where the class is going and even where the class has been so far. But it was a cool conversation, especially digging into the relationship between thank you and you're welcome, and having the kids kind of share the how and why they would say what their response would be, sort of depending on who they were saying it to. And I, you know, as I left them, I said, you know, consider, you know, those spaces deeply over the weekend where you can say thank you without obligation. You just get to say thank you for whatever you received. And I like that. I like that. I don't know. The downside to it, the only downside to this is that because of our week one and week two framework, I won't get to follow back up with these kids for like a week from now, as far as just to kind of return to it and ask them, you know, how did that work out with you experiencing the things that you're thankful for? Did you feel as if it was sort of gratitude without, gratitude without ownership or gratitude without obligation? That was cool. Maybe that's also what made Friday really good. Maybe that was the other thing, because I would say that happened yesterday, right? That was a cool way to end the week. That was long. Dude, that was like 10 minutes of me blathering on about that.
Decoded podcast, baby.
I know. Our rules, our pod. I'm imagining that many teachers did some sort of an activity yesterday. What are you grateful for? I think I wanted to start with what is grateful? what is gratitude? Yeah, that's where I went instead. What is gratitude? How about you?
Yesterday was a PD day for us here. Mm-hmm. But you know what's interesting about my new position, my new job, is that even on a PD day, I was still rolling the regular work day. Like, I attended a morning meeting with my supervisory officer and all the people under her umbrella of responsibility. We came together. We had she welcomed us. We had a prayer. We did a little bit of housekeeping in terms of our division. I'll call it a division. And, she gave us the expectations for the day. And it was self-directed learning. So I had a list of things that I had to engage in on my time for that PD day. But I also had, running parallel to that, I had like phone calls to make to parents. I had a meeting with a student outside of his house. So it's like, it felt like a regular work day with some direction from my boss around things that I had to do. So it was a little bit weird because when you're a classroom teacher and you have a PD day, it's got a completely different feel than a regular school day. But I didn't feel anything different yesterday. I just felt like it's Friday. I've got real stuff to do from my day job, and I also have real stuff to do that the system says I need to do today because it's PD day. And I need to say, dude, every day is like the same for me. So I didn't have that sense of relief when Thanksgiving came. In the classroom, I'd be like, okay, here comes a long weekend. I'm gonna chill. It's got a feel to it. I didn't get that feeling this weekend.
I like that. I totally like prefer that.
Really?
I do.
I'm mourning the loss of that feeling. And I'm not sure if it's because I truly value that feeling or it's just something that I've gotten used to over time and it's not happening to me right now this year.
Well, dude, it's definitely both. It's got to be both, right? It's got to be both.
Sure.
It's the Pavlov response.
There's a lot of that for me lately. There's a lot of going through the day-to-day stuff and not feeling feelings that I would normally anticipate at certain times of the year. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. It's very interesting. And I'm very aware. And so I reflect on it, right? And I think to myself, okay, what's going on here? And so, for example, like yesterday, that feeling of relief on a PD day after teaching all week, it's because I know what teachers go through every day. And with the whole COVID protocol stuff still in existence, it's like being a classroom teacher is absolutely draining. I believe more so than it was before the pandemic. And before the pandemic, it was draining. It seems to be even more draining now, if that's even possible. But for me, I guess every day I've established I try to find a balance in the day and my week. And yesterday wasn't really a PD day. It was just another day of me doing my job with the added layer of I had a meeting with my superintendent at a particular time. And we were given, 4 to 5 things that we needed to that we were responsible for covering and understanding
mm-hmm.
within the system. And then this weekend's whacked out. So I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast, but we had my water heater clunked out in the middle of the summer and it flooded the basement. So we're getting new floor put in. So because we can't be home during the day for these people to come do their work, we've arranged for them to work on the weekends. And this is the first weekend that there are people in my basement right now hammering like crazy and doing all kinds of stuff. And my son has a hockey game today. And then we're supposed to go to grandma and grandpa's for Thanksgiving dinner. But it's all a mess. It's funny. I said to my wife, I said, okay, hockey's at this time. So I'm like, you can't leave the house and go to your parents until I get home because there are people working in our basement. She's just looking at me like, oh yeah. I'm like the detail guy, right? I'm like, so after the hockey game, if they're still working in the basement, if they've not finished for the day, I will come home and then you and the kids can go to grandma and grandpa's and then I will come over when the flooring people are done for the day. And she's like, okay, so I'm going to have to pack you a meal then. Basically, she's like, you're not going to be coming. And I'm like, well, I'd like to go. But I said, when we arranged all this, the understanding was that these guys were going to come work on Thanksgiving weekend. And we even said, can you give us a time that you might leave on Sunday so we can figure this out? And they're like, yeah, on Sunday we'll be gone by 4. But then dinner changed to Saturday. And I'm like, I'm not going to bug them. They're working weekends that they normally don't work to help us. So I'm not going to be like, this time. I'm not doing that because we've already done that to people. So to me, it's just another weekend again. It's a weekend. And Monday, I don't have to work. but I probably will make calls. You know, I won't go visit anybody, but I will call parents and check in with people, and I'll look over some data and kind of prepare myself for the week. But yeah, there, for me right now in this job right now, there is no like up and down where I'm looking to the world to balance me out. And Thanksgiving weekend used to be that balance. It used to be, okay, I'm riding high or I'm riding low, and now I just need to come in neutral and enjoy this weekend of Thanksgiving, of, you know, like taking my kids to where they need to be and trying to sleep in a little bit when I don't normally get that opportunity. All that is just flipped upside down. It's just flipped upside down, and I've even lost like the care that goes with it. So yesterday, my son had hockey twice, and I don't even know what it's called. There's a storage pod in my driveway. So on one side of the driveway, there's this big metal pod. On the other side of my driveway, there was my car. My wife was parked on the street, and the flooring people were parked like on the street, but blocking half of my driveway. So we get in the car, and my son's like, "What are you going to do, Dad?" I'm like, "You're going to watch me maneuver a vehicle like you've never seen me maneuver a vehicle." He's like, "Well, does anybody need to move anything?" I'm like, "Nobody needs to move anything. I know how to drive." And it's funny because when I started backing out, one of the flooring guys ran out to close like the back doors of the van. I'm like, "Dude, you don't need to close anything. I'll get around it." And it was funny because when he noticed that I was just going to go regardless of where he was, he glued himself to the van so that I wouldn't hit him. But I was nowhere near hitting him. And I just drove away, and my son was like, "How'd you do that?" I'm like, "You just learn. You learn how to drive. You learn how to do what you need to do and try not to bother anybody else." And he was floored. He's like, "How did you... There's a pod on one side. There's cars behind you. You're not asking anybody to move anything." I'm like, "It's fine, dude. We're out of the driveway. We're leaving now." But this is the gong show that I'm living right now. So it's like... It's weird to not feel that... that relief that I would normally get at this time. I even texted a friend of mine. I said to him, I said, "Dude, Friday is a PD day. You want to go for breakfast Friday morning?" And he wrote back, he goes, "No, I want to sleep in." It's hilarious because he's like, I don't have to be at work until I have to be at work. There's none of this 15 minutes before and prepare. You know, he goes, "I'm sleeping in. What about lunch? Can we do lunch?" I said, "No, I can't do lunch. I'm meeting at a student's house at lunch." And he's like, "You're nuts. It's a PD day." And I'm looking at him. I'm like, "You're nuts. It's a PD day, and you won't even go for breakfast with me." So it's like, man, I'm living in a different world than all these other people. And it's kind of cool and kind of freeing when I let it be. You know, like, it's weird. It's weird. It's different. It's kind of, I hope the novelty of the difference lasts long. I hope, because it's such a strange feeling that I kind of like it. I kind of like feeling that strange feeling, but it won't last forever. It won't last forever. So now the next big break is Christmas break. Hopefully there's nobody in my house fixing anything. That would be nice. And I wonder if, you know, the day before Christmas, you know what? I think if my caseload allows it, I think I really want to get into either my old elementary school that I worked at, or pop into an elementary school where I'm working, where I have kids on my caseload, just to feel the Christmas vibe before we leave. Because as I'm talking to you, I'm missing those markers along the way of the school year. Like Thanksgiving's a marker, Halloween's a marker, Remembrance Day's a marker. Like I think I need to look at my calendar and do what I can to make sure that I'm working with one of my students in, like, because I have some elementary school students. I need to get in there at around those times so I can feel that vibe, because that energy, I used to feed off that energy as a classroom teacher, and I don't want to let that go. Because that was part of the fun of being a classroom teacher in elementary school. So this is kind of cool. Talking to you about this has me thinking about how I can be aware of these times during the year and how I can insert myself in places so I can feel the vibe and I can still do my job.
The I like the whole dealing with this transition into professionally managed time. I like listening to you, you know, talk it out, think it out for yourself. I think it's also, but I still, okay, I like it. I get it. I've had a taste of that before in portfolios for myself. The thing that still, it's funny that driving us though to sort of look towards the queuing systems to tell us if we're on track, right? Getting deregulated in your workday can be problematic for some people, as in, you know, and that was a little bit like this week. I mean, I mentioned at the top of the pod that there was something about this week that I felt like I was being bounced around by powers that, you know, weren't my own. And I didn't appreciate that influence. I wanted to be sort of captaining my own ship a little more clearly than that. And though I recognize the bells as the beginning and the end of the day, it's funny, I'm usually there before the bell and doing work. And I most times have to do a couple things after work before I actually get to leave the building. And again, I'll go back to the working to sort of protect the weekend really does. It's done a lot for me to sort of recognize that the bells don't matter. Now, even as I say that, I get it. They do matter. And they don't matter. and figuring out disassociating the bells from my wellness almost has begun. Like, that's become a really important project for me. And I don't have a great way to frame that other than realizing the sort of like that sort of just kind of digging into the impact of needing the bells and the transition times of the day to account for my productivity is wrongheaded for me. I need to have independent kind of markers because I feel like the independent marking framework lets me see my week holistically. I think in some ways it reminds me that the job that I do from Monday to Friday is only one of the important jobs I do in the week. And if I have other important jobs I need to do in the week, and there's only so much week to do those important jobs, then that means that I'm never going to be able to 100% focus on one of those important jobs during the week, whether I'm, you know, dad or husband or me, the things that I want to do, or teacher. And that gives me a lot of peace. I think that's the beginning of recognizing the hold that Big Eddie has over me, but at the same time thumbing my nose at it to a degree and saying you're one of many important things I have to take care of. And in some ways, Big Maddie and Big Jake and Big Karen are like they're bigger than you. They have to be bigger than you because they're going to be here when, you know, I finally say goodbye to Big Eddie. So when I think about investment, it's funny. I've been thinking a lot about investment in my work and how I invest and how much I invest. And I am coming back to a certain, there's a finite level upon which my investment will give me any return in school. Maybe I'll have to unpack this throughout the week, but this is a growing kind of lens that I've been using as I look at my work. Whereas I think it's infinite with my family and my life away from work. Like there is no bottom to that. There's no ceiling to that. And someone could hear that as, well, I feel that way about work. Like, I just, it's infinite. I can keep putting things in. But I look at the return, and I always kind of go back to, in the last few years, I go back to a conversation with Tina Zita and talking about, who am I without education? And then when I first posed it, I don't know if I really had a really clear hold on what that was. I know there's more to me than being a teacher. But hell, you ask me what I do, and I can lay it down step by step, the technical things that I do during the day during work. Now, maybe that's work. That work helps you make that checklist. It helps you do your TPA. It helps you sort of like build your resume. And I don't want that for my life outside of the job to it, and be clear with myself as to what I'm doing there. So I'm really digging, for example, like Fridays, the last few Fridays, I get to be skate park dad. So me and the kids are heading out there, right? I'm beginning to be, take my daughter to the mall dad, because she wants to hang out with a friend. I like that. I like sort of seeing like the other pieces that Big Eddie can never touch. As long as I'm keeping Big Eddie in a box, like I have to keep Big Eddie in a box. I have to recognize that Big Eddie won't stop asking for food. And every once in a while, I got to starve him. Like, I got to say, sorry, like, lots of important jobs for me to take care of this week. And I'm really resistant. Well, going back to that whole protect the weekend idea, I'm trying to build a resilience against investing everything of like my happiness, my sort of relief, my wellness, and in my job, but also recognizing I have to be able to invest it in all these kind of spaces. Now, I think, just last thing I'll say in this, I don't believe that education as it is right now, Big Eddie as it is right now, isn't doing anything for my wellness. So it's me having to set the training regimen for Big Eddie to make sure Big Eddie sort of follows a bit of my rules as much as I follow theirs. Starting to be kind of a tired comparison, but without school, I'm getting a better and clearer understanding of who I am and who I am to other people, and also recognizing school. I don't want to be happy in my life because I'm not at school. I don't want to be happy on a Friday because it suggests that I wasn't happy at work. And I don't want to be sad on Sunday because I have to go back to work. That's not a good place for me. And I'm not about to compartmentalize all my joy into a long weekend. I need to have that throughout the week. And that's, I try and, you know, even convince my students of that, about protect the weekend. So that's my thinking on that.
A couple of things there. Number one, I totally agree with you. That roller coaster ride of Sunday night feeling not so great because you have to go to work on Monday morning, and then that exhilarate, the feeling of exhilaration on Friday afternoon, knowing that you're going to be away for 2 days, like, that roller coaster sucks. But I have to, like, I live it. I haven't lived it this year, really, but I have lived it in the past for sure.
Do you crave it?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to pretend. I see what you're saying, and I do like that idea of the balance. I do like that. But I also am a person who knows well that I like to have something to look forward to. So it's not like, I like to have something to look forward to. So yesterday.
But what about looking forward to everything?
Nah, dude, because I don't look forward to everything. But there are some things that I do look forward to. All and right. Those nuggets, that's always worked for me. And I learned about that for me when I was, I guess when I, before I went to university, I knew it existed, but I didn't know what to call it. Then in university, as I learned more about psychology and sociology and stuff like this, I learned that for some people, that nugget is really good. Like, it really, it keeps you focused, keeps you motivated. It keeps you gracious, right? And humble. So mm-hmm. like, there's some good stuff going on there. And for me, I learned to find ways to set things up in my life that I would look forward to get me through those moments of this sucks. What I'm doing right now currently sucks, but hey, it's part of what I'm doing right now. I got to get through it to get to the next thing. And a couple of things down the road are things that I'm really looking forward to that I put there on purpose to give me that pause, to give me some, to allow me to experience joy, and then to just keep going. So for me, like, I'll give you an example. Yesterday was not a bad work day for me. I wasn't not wanting to go to work, but I was really excited to take my son to hockey because I was going to get to see some of the dads. I was going to get to watch him play. There's a banter that goes back and forth between people that you get only when you're in certain places. So it was like, yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I got a lot of work to do today, but at this time I get to stop my work, get to hang out with my kid. And I like stuff like that. Do I like the ups and downs? No. Like, I don't like Sunday feeling like, oh shoot, tomorrow's Monday and I have to work and then Sunday's ruined. I know people like that. I know people like Sunday after 4 p.m., don't talk to them because it's everything they say is going to come out of their mouth is going to be negative because they're so bothered that they got to go to work the next day. And I'm not saying that in a judgmental way. I'm just saying I've been there and I've done that. Here's a great example for you. Years ago, I worked at a particular school. I did not enjoy working at this school. I did not enjoy my boss. It felt like every day going to work, I would do anything I could to avoid going to work. It didn't work, but like, that's where I was at. Like, if my tooth was bothering me and the dentist is like, yeah, I can help you on this day at 1 o'clock or not, or 10 a.m., which meant I had to take a full day. I was like, sign me up. I guess I'm going to be away from work the whole day. Like, anything that got in my way that was legitimate, that kept me from going to work, I was like, let's do this. Whereas before, it's like, well, can we get a time after school or whatever? And it was like, no, if that's what time you can see me, I'm out of work. I will come to you. And so Sunday nights became a real problem for me in terms of like anxiety and worry. And you know what got me through? The cartoon, the Star Wars cartoon, the animated Star Wars, Clone Wars. It was on Sunday nights from like 8 to 10. There were two episodes. And I knew I wasn't going to get to bed at a good time. So I would do what I needed to during the day and then put whichever kid I was putting to bed. And then I would watch Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and it would take my mind off of my anxiety and the shitty situation of having to go to bed, wake up, and go to a place where I didn't want to go. So certainly, like, I find ways to relieve some of that anxiety or stress. You know, in my current job, I could be on my work cell phone all the time. I could always be contacting people, texting people, whatever. But it's one of those things where yesterday, before I went to hockey with my son, the workday was essentially over. I put my work cell phone down. I walked away from it. And my son was like, well, you're not bringing it with you? I said, no, it's Friday. It's Friday. Your hockey starts at 5. I don't need my work phone. Because if you're calling me or emailing me at 4:30 on Friday before Thanksgiving weekend, I hope you're not expecting like to have me turn something around in those moments. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be careful with my job, right? Because my job could, like, I'll stop talking after this one, but the other day it was like, it was like 5 o'clock and this parent had finally responded to me. And I was basically in a text conversation with the parent and my wife said, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm in the middle of a conversation that I really can't drop. Like, I can't drop it. I need to be strategic in how it ends. And I need to be strategic in, like, the whole thing needs to be strategic. She's like, oh. And I'm like, yeah, I'm working. Like, I was between 5 and 6 p.m. I was working. Right? Like, I classroom teachers don't have their kids in front of them between 5 and 6 p.m. But I had a parent coming at me, and I couldn't just say, hey, the workday's over now. There had to be like a natural resolution to our conversation in a way that I could walk away from it knowing, okay, we're done. We're done for now, and we'll come back to it another day. So I'm learning what to do. I'm learning what to do, you know. I've told my team members, like, I'll tell them that I'll pick up the phone here and there and check to see if you've texted me or if you sent me a Teams message or whatever about whatever. Like, so I've told them too. I've told them too, after like 4:30 or whatever, I may message you, but I certainly don't expect a response. It's just maybe I'm still working and I need to get some stuff. I need to pass information on to you that you are going to use, maybe not at that moment in time, but you're going to need it. And I don't want to, I'll forget. If I don't do it, I'll forget. So I'm just going to send it to you. So we kind of have this agreement, right, between the three of us that, and even here, props to my SO. My SO said in one of our first meetings, she said, sometimes I'll email you on the weekend and I don't, like, I'm not expecting you to do anything with it. I'm working. She goes, I'm working all the time. So if I'm working, I'm going to send you the stuff that you're going to need to see eventually or deal with. And I was like, I appreciate that, that openness, right? Like, hey, this is my job. There are times of the day where I'm not doing my job, but then there are other times where I pick back up and get back into my work, and you may get an email from me on a Saturday afternoon. I don't expect you to do anything with it. It's part of my work. I can respect that, right? I don't have to check my email, but I do just in case, because of my new role, things could pop up at any time. So I'm open at the moment to looking at my email on the weekends and checking to see if I've got any texts from my coworkers. And you know, I'm meeting with students and I'm giving them the cell phone number. And I'm saying, like I said to this one student that I met with the other day, I said, listen, If you need to get something off your chest, you can text me or email or call. But I said, you need to know it's Thanksgiving weekend and I have a family. So I may not respond to you right away, but just know that I will see it. And if it requires a response, you'll get one. But if it doesn't, you won't. So don't think you're all alone, right? Because some of the kids I'm working with, there's feelings there, like, of things because of the pandemic and stuff. So I said, just know I'm busy. Like, I have a life. So I'm not ignoring you. I'm not purposely not responding. It's like, I have a life and I have a world outside of work. So I'm open to connecting, but there are certain times where I'm less likely to connect because of the world, because of my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how do you feel about that? And they're like, that's fine. That's cool. I'm like, okay, good. So we have an understanding. And I say to them too, I'm like, hey, I'm an old dude. You know, sometimes I might text you a question or something. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not texting kids at 9 p.m. But like, if it's 5 or 6 or something, I might be like, sorry, I didn't get back to you. Yada, yada, yada. I'll talk to you tomorrow or whatever. Just to kind of end things for me. I like to end things as clean as I can end them for me. Mm-hmm. Because then I feel like I'm done for the day, or I've done everything I can do for that day.
Yep.
It's a weird space, right? And principals, another thumbs up to Peter LeBlanc, who is a retired principal in the Guelph region. I don't know what board it is.
Upper Grand?
Yes, thank you, Upper Grand. He's one of my leadership mentors, and he was telling me the one day about that work-life balance. And he said that he straight up tells his parent community that he's working in. He's like, you know, you will have me from like 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. 5 days a week. So if you email me at 7:30 p.m. on a Tuesday, you're not going to hear back from me until 6 a.m. the next morning. He's like, those are my parameters, and I think they're reasonable. Because he said to me, dude, as a principal, you're getting emails all the time. If you're responding to all of them, then you'll never stop. You'll just be responding to people all day and all night long. So he goes, you need to find what works for you, how it fits in your community. And I'm learning that. But there are some, you know, my wife will look at me like, are you about to pick up your work phone? And then I'll walk away from it. Because there needs to be, I'm not on, my job is not 24/7. It's not. And some people want their job to be 24/7. That's their business. That's not mine.
I heard, what was it talking about? It was a quick news blurb talking about how Apple is, or did at some point between right now and last couple months, maybe the last year, Apple was trying to figure out, I'm imagining still trying to figure out how to, I guess what it comes down to is how to transition to post-pandemic business. And like many workplaces had being challenged by the question, do we all come back into the same building? So how do we gather is the question. How do we gather? And maybe it wasn't on the news. Maybe it's the book I'm reading. It's actually The Art of Gathering. I forget the author's name, The Art of Gathering. It's in my brain from somewhere, but the story will still kind of fit. Apple was trying to figure, you know why I think it's the news? Because I'm listening to it as an audiobook. So that's why I figure when I think of the news, I think I heard it. I didn't read it. So Apple is trying to figure out, how do we gather? And then you get all the other W's in there with it, the why, the when, the what, the where. And I guess Apple, who's the lead at Apple now? What's the dude's name? I always forget his name. You do it. Yeah. Jump in when you got it.
Tim Cook.
So it was sort of like, it was like getting the, you know, the email from the director. And basically saying, okay, what we're going to try doing is we're going to have mandatory be at work days, X days, like X number of days during the week. And I guess there's been some pushback as in, what is this based on? Because the actual, I guess the framing of it was said in order to reconnect, there were some social goals as well as bureaucratic goals in there. And I guess there's some pushback as in, well, how did you gather these social goals? Like, what was the actual path to figuring out that people want to be back in the building? Now, I think, hasn't Apple just finished, or didn't they build a brand new campus somewhere in California? Do you remember seeing those postings? They did this great big loop, this great big sort of, looks like a mothership. So mm-hmm. I guess if you spent billions of dollars on a gathering place, then you want your people back in that gathering place. But it has me thinking about in a lot of ways, you know, the sort of expectations about professionally managed time. It's got me thinking about how we're sort of doing education right now. It's also got me wondering about what are the tools that are going to remain. I haven't been a part of that. I would say, unfortunately, part of that discussion about what tools remain for my board right now is couched in professional learning on how to do hybrid better. And, you know, hybrid's not great. It's hard to get excited about, you know, learning to do teaching in a way that splits your consciousness in two different streams, right? Kind of splits your accountability in two different streams. But that, so if I walk away from that thought, then it does come back to that idea of, the purpose and how we gather, and when we do come together, what is the deepest why to us being in that? And now I'm starting, even as I'm saying these words, I'm like, yeah, damn, this is from this book. Now I gotta mention it. I gotta look it up. But yeah, it's sort of like there's a whole lot of investment in our systems. I don't think I'm tying this back well, but there's a whole lot of investment in our systems that even when we try to think about doing professionally management in a different way, Priya Parker, The Art of Gathering, great book. I think I sent you a picture of the front. It's really, it's quite, I want to say the word stunning, but it's just the way the book talks about the, like you hear something, the art of gathering, and you're like, yeah, okay. This ain't light stuff. This actually digs in really consciously and conscientiously as to the decisions of us to be in the same space. And it's on point for right now as we try to figure out what does it mean for us to be back in workplaces, right? Good example, this you know, upcoming day, we have a training day coming up, and we've been mandated to be in the building for ostensibly all digital learning. And I don't know why. I can't imagine the deepest why. What is the deepest why to us being in the building for this training? My level that I kind of stopped at, compliance. We want to know that everyone's participating. So one way to do that is to give everybody the optics of a day at work. So we arrive at the building. So we'll know the deepest what is that staff will at least be in the building between the bells. I guess that's work. That's a low level definition of work. But yeah, this is a mashed up response. You had me thinking about professionally managed time. But also, you know, our purpose in being back together again. And are we clear? Are we actually able to action what our deepest why is? If my school board does want everyone to get better at, which I think this is the intent, to get better at doing hybrid learning, whether I agree or disagree with hybrid learning, if the intent is for us to get better, I guess I would like to know how they perceive us being in the same space doing digital learning improves the likelihood of better hybrid teaching. I guess that's my question as to the deepest why. Yeah, curious.
There is a lot of optics plays a huge role in a lot of dimensions in our society, mm-hmm. right? Like I remember last year, there was a PD day in December in my board, and we were allowed to engage in the PD day learning from home. Mm-hmm. And on my Instagram, I posted a picture. I'm sitting in my living room. My Chromebook or whatever computer I have is sitting on a table, and behind the table, it's blurred out, but it's my Christmas tree. And I'm like, this is the best day ever because I'm feeling good in my environment where I'm working, and I'm participating in the professional activities that have been laid out for me for that day. And it was a moment of, it just felt nice to be trusted and to be treated like an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, but we were in the middle of a pandemic. So it's like, well, we can't bring you together at the school, so everybody can just do it from home. And I was like, in education, it feels like it's such a modern day activity. It feels like we're in the future because we can do this. It's like people need to get over, we need to create a new optic, because this business of all these teachers are at home doing nothing. I'm working, man. Like I'm, they're telling me what to do and I'm doing it. So maybe you don't like what I'm doing, but that's not between you and I. That's between mm-hmm. the powers that be. Why do I need to be in a building to do it? And I think before COVID, in my world, the way I see the world, it's, working from home and having office space was such a novelty. But like my brother-in-law who works in Ottawa for a major software company, you know, he would tell me some days he's working from home and I'm like, how does that work? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, how do you get any work done? Because it's so new to me that I've been trained very well. Work means you get up, you have a shower, you put your clothes on, you drive to a location, you enter into said location, find the spot that belongs to you, and then sit there and do stuff. That's work.
I would have been the guy that was seeing you in your routine, and I would have been the guy parking in your parking spot every once in a while, which I did.
That's right.
You know, but I'll put out, and I'll I can admit this. I don't think so, but Sean, if you're listening to this podcast, that was me way back in 2006. I knew you. I saw you came in, and you liked to park right near that one door. And when I was coaching basketball, that was me. I don't think we ever had a conversation about it, but yeah, there was a teacher, a department head that when I could, such a kid, such a child I am, but I would park in there. And there was at least one occasion where I heard some chatter about it.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. So that's you. So
that's So if you got a guy, if there's somebody, if there's a car, if there's a person doing that, you roll in, you're like, oh, they're in my spot.
Now, fast forward to today, having gone through the pandemic, my day, like my work day now, can look like me traveling to a school and meeting with people at a school. And then an hour later, I'm sitting right here in this office and I've got two computers going and I'm in a Teams meeting. As soon as it ends, I'm picking up my cell phone. I'm calling somebody, one of my team members, a principal, a student at their house, a parent. Like, I am totally mobile. I'm totally mobile. So then I think, why do I need to make these calls from the car when I can make them right here where I have everything I need? Like, this business of, and here's another cool one. You're going to love this. Some of the people I'm connecting with at the schools, some of them don't want to see me face to face. Like, they're like, I'll tell them, okay, can we meet on Wednesday at this time? They're like, yeah, okay, send me a Teams meet. And I'm like, I wanted to come into the school. They're like, why?
The jargon has shifted, though. We're officially in the gray zone as far as the word meeting.
We have to say whether it's face-to-face or not. We have to. So it's funny that you say that, because in another email request I made to a guidance counselor, I said, when can you meet next week? The response was, any day's good. Thursdays are crazy. I said, okay, let me book something. And in my calendar, I booked this meeting with me, one of my re-engagement team partners, and this guidance counselor. And in the description and in the title, I said, face-to-face meeting at blank high school. So there is no question we are entering into the high school. We will be seeing this person face-to-face. Another guidance counselor, I need to meet with you. Okay, you're not coming in, are you? I'm like, am I not allowed to come in? And they're like, well, I'm doing a lot of my meetings virtually. Do you want me to come in or not? And he's like, if you don't need to come in, it'd be cool to do. So I'm like, just say it. So this one guidance counselor doesn't want me to come in. He would rather we meet virtually. And I'm like, okay. So what does that look like for me? I look at my calendar and it looks like either I'm sitting here on this computer or I'm in my car and the work cell phone is on and it's clipped somewhere where if I'm driving, if I'm writing notes, I can still have that Teams meeting, right? Mm-hmm. So, but it's very interesting. It's just very interesting. Oh, here's another good one. Here's another good one. Total expectations. Our superintendent wanted to meet with us. So she said, hey, tomorrow at this time, I'm free. I want to meet with the team. We're like, awesome. I just assumed. And she said, you know, we could do it by Teams if you need to. So I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I talked to my re-engagement team, and I was like, hey, we're all going to be at the board office tomorrow at this time. They're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, great. Somebody email the SO and tell her like she can come up and see us in the room that we've reserved, or we can come down and see her. They're like, okay. And then we find out that our superintendent is not going to be on site. Our superintendent, it needs to be a Teams meeting because our superintendent isn't in the building. We were in the building though, which was hilarious. So even like I'm making assumptions. Basically, my world is now when you tell me you want to meet with me and I look at my calendar, if my calendar makes it impossible for me to actually get to you for that time physically, then I'm going to say I can't make it physically, but I can have a Teams meeting with you from anywhere because my cell phone will allow me to do that.
It's a perfect example though of what do we need to bring back? What do we need to hang on to from pandemic? I think that if we accept into the buffet checklist that any meeting now could be either face-to-face or digital, then that creates a whole new dialogue about how we do work. For example, and I don't see this as, okay, actually I'll give the example first. So our staff meeting that we had this week, we were told that we had to be in the building for it. Now, the timing of the staff meeting was 10 minutes after the bell. So there is often in staff meetings, there's an on-ramp to the staff meetings, which means as far as interactivity, and again, we're going to go back to the why of us gathering. So the staff meeting, the why of us gathering. If the why of us gathering is to kind of like, and this is kind of where you get your goal statement in or your purpose statement in, if it is for us to learn, then part of, if we just say that we want to learn more, give a topic or whatever, then really there's space in there for each professional to decide in what way do I learn best. Right, you automatically have that stuff. We know that about education. We do that with kids. We should be doing it more with colleagues. We don't. It's not, the staff doesn't get that as often as the students do. The meeting would start by 3:15. There are individuals that live local enough that they could probably walk home in that 10 minutes and have the meeting from home. That could be a thing. The people live around the school. There are others that are technologically, you know, privileged enough that even on their commute, they could put on their phone and they could listen to the beginning of the meeting. Okay. To which the response could be, but if there was interactivity involved, then of course, I guess we could put the safety thing in there. We don't want people having to futz with their devices while they're driving. Fair enough. But there tends to be a pattern here, right? And this is where we start to say, what is it about this? What is it about the category of a meeting? And I'm stealing right from the author, but what is it about the category of a meeting that's binding us to old ways of thinking? So pattern from old meetings is that we tend to be told a bunch of stuff for the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes, maybe 45 minutes. We're mandated to be there for 75. But there's that first chunk is going to be, we're going to be told things from the board. We're going to be talked to. There isn't an interactive activity. So then we're sort of in that space of, well, if for the first little bit we're listening, we should be able to listen from whatever space is best for us. And if that first 20 minutes would account for your travel time, then why couldn't you go home and then have your staff meeting from there? Right? This is a really great example of this is how we just 5 months ago didn't question this moment. We were not saying, well, today's a good day for you to come into the building to have this staff meeting. We already enacted that space. We carved out that way of thinking that we're going to have digital sort of meetings. There is an element of this about compliance that, again, if we're in the building, then we must be doing work. Now, I'm not going to argue that point. Teachers do work whether they're in the building or not in the building. Point made, right? But there's an interesting thing here where you get to the idea, like what we need to keep on the table, I believe, what we need to keep on the table, that we learned we can do it this way. Like we don't have to go back and say, now you need to be in the building. Now, the thing I was going to introduce is then you could say, well, there's an equity issue. Well, you know, for those that can't go home, well, that kind of comes to the fact that you've sort of either chosen or been hired at a school, like your commute, if you can't effectively do it, well, I guess I think of that, that sort of like, you know, I don't know if I would say because you sort of live beyond a staff, beyond a reasonable drive time to be able to do listening on your phone, like everything that I just mentioned. I don't sort of sit too much on the equity issue that some people can't go home. But those that can, for those that like chose to sort of move into the area because they wanted to be able to get home right at the end of the day, I feel like their choices should be honored. And you knew you're going to be driving to the school that far and you knew you could be held for 75 minutes. So you sort of knew that was the possibility in living, you know, that distance that you would have to have the commute. I don't have a really good counter argument to that, but I just, when we keep and bring back things from what we've learned in the last year, at this point, not only should every offering for a meeting be digital and face-to-face, everyone receiving it should be able to opt for the version that they prefer. If some people are choosing to stay at the school because the Wi-Fi has been, some people do that, the Wi-Fi is better, they don't want to take their work home, they should have that option too. And we kind of did that a little bit last year. Individuals, like if you wanted to, you could come into the site. But it's just like your person that said, I'd rather do a digital meet. We should not have any shame. That should be a dignified moment as well, despite the fact that you may want to go in. And the irony here is that you could even be in the building because you're meeting with somebody else that said, yes, I'm happy to do a face-to-face. And that other person said, no, I'd rather do a digital. So then you're going to look for a place to hunker down in a conference room and talk to that person from the conference room.
I hate that,
but I'm just going to say that, but this is, I think I've accepted that's where we're at. I've already had two like that. I've had two like that already where people were in the building. There was the opportunity to face to face and individuals said, I'd rather do digital. And I know where they are in the school. They're just in another space in the school. It's just, it's on the menu. It's on the menu right now.
Some people are just people that like to be in the presence of others in the face-to-face. That's,
of course,
I've seen that. I've even, you know, I've had some talks with some people and said, listen, you're letting your preference interfere with health and safety. And they look at me funny and I'm like, I know what your preference is, but you're not thinking about the situation and the 50 people that need to then do what you say is going to happen. That's not cool. So you may need to hold off on your needs for the needs of 50 other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, cause you're right. You gotta weigh and balance. Now, Ramona's made some comments. I'm going to post them. And the funny thing is Ramona, it's Thanksgiving. So she's probably going hog wild with the turkeys today.
Up to her giblets and turkeys.
I've been waiting a whole year to talk about Ramona cooking turkeys for the less fortunate. So Ramona, please, in the comments, let us know if you are hip deep. What did you say, Chris? Up to what? Giblets in turkey?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, giblets or giblets. Hip deep.
Whatever. So today's the day. Ramona is probably locked in that kitchen.
The big show.
Yes, the big show. Turkeys everywhere. Okay. So Ramona says that she misses seeing colleagues at staff meetings with restrictions. Not as much of a chance to talk, to see each other. And when we were on Teams, cameras are off. 100%. And then she says a lot of our new hires this year are just names to her.
Mm-hmm.
She's pretending that's because of the team's meetings, but we all know she's just so busy she can't get out of her space. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. Meetings from home is great too. Turkey smells good right now in the oven. Her giblets are busy.
getting kind of busy. That's okay.
I can finally use the joke that she's in the kitchen cooking turkeys because it's turkey time.
It's actually turkey time. Well done. Yeah, a lot of the new staff are just half faces to me. You know, from the sort of the eyes, just get the scuba mask look of some of my colleagues. I'm starting to really have an appreciation of the, what's the word? I'm having a deeper appreciation of, I want to say like how people look. you sort of get outside the school and you're in that sort of just ripping the mask off your face and you look over at someone that you haven't seen the lower half of their face this school year. You're like, hey, cool. When'd you get the nose piercing? Or, hey, you had a beard the last time I saw you. What's going down? And you're like, I recognize you less now that I see your whole freaking face. Like that's a whole lot of face I don't remember. It's these funny moments, and I'm having a deeper appreciation for. It's less about the conversations because I feel like my conversations are still good. I feel like the conversation component of staying connected with my colleagues for me is just as good as it was. It hasn't changed, but I have a deeper appreciation for just being able to look at people, like actually really looking at people and seeing what they look like and how they've changed. And getting, I guess it's just I guess it's the miss your face kind of like a nostalgia that, yeah. It's, I don't have a great way. It's very clumsy the way I'm laying this out, but just,
miss your face products from Decoded Podcast.
There we go.
Miss your this face.
Yes. So this is the,
I had to throw it in there before Ramona did.
No. Yeah. Miss your face. Yeah. Miss it's the, face. It's, vegan.
Oh
yeah. It's a vegan, cruelty free,
sustainable,
green,
no carbon footprint. Yeah. I was just going to say
zero. There's a, you know what? This is actually, this is like uber negative carbon footprint. It's almost as if the product never existed.
That's cool, man. That's it.
That's really light on the face. Really light on the face. You won't even know that you're not wearing it. Yeah, I miss your face. Smell your beard and miss your face. That's a good one.
Oh, here we go. Ramona's in. Miss your face is a
subcategory
of smell my beard. She's asking the question. Sure, the answer is yes.
Yeah, miss your face.
Smell my beard is total carnivore. Like it's smell my beard is the opposite. Is totally it's the opposite. It's friggin' barbecue sauce from the ribs.
Yeah,
you know, sure. The animal.
There's a carbon. Well. There's a carbon footprint.
There's a there. Huge carbon footprint there.
Yeah. Right from and the grill.
It's a stereotypically manly type of smell. That's what kind of product that is, Ramona.
Yeah, it is. It's actually. I think we can just say it's like it's Big Eddie. Macho, like that's really what it is. Big Eddie Macho.
Which reminds me, you said something earlier about Big Eddie's always hungry. You have to be careful. And I was like, what?
Especially when we're prepping up a batch of Smell My Beard, right? Like Big Eddie's coming in for a big old bite.
You're right. Big Eddie never stops eating.
No.
Never stops eating.
Just standing like this. Right from
always.
The moment, from the moment, from first bell, just like
feed
this.
Me, and it wants data, and it wants your soul, and it wants it all. Oh, Ramona really liked Big Eddie Macho.
Yeah. Yeah. Big Eddie Macho and Miss Your Face.
Big Eddie is voracious.
Yeah.
Okay, well, can we see your art today? Because I'm worried that if we keep going, Ramona's never gonna get those turkeys done. Okay, I see the perspective is somebody looking down at their feet, but what's in front of them? Is that a path? Or is that water? Oh, that's interesting. That's cool. Red shoes. Why'd you pick red shoes?
I don't know. Oh, I needed something to contrast on the colors. It said, now I realized that I Big Eddie Macho wrestling name. I think I needed something to be able to show the depth and distance, I guess. I was just where the foot sits as opposed to where the drop off is. I don't know. My eye said to put red or orange, something that I was going to do purple at first, but it didn't give enough contrast against the blue. So
cool. Well, on that note, look at this. Ramona's shutting down the podcast this week. Giving to you both and your families. Same to you, Ramona. Wish you well. Thanks for checking out the Decoded podcast.
Absolutely. Subscriptions are not available for every one of our products. Yeah.
You know what I want to do now? I want to take one of my beard balms and like
just make a new label for it.
Make a new label for it. Smell my beard. Big Eddie Macho beard balm. For those male teachers who choose to have facial hair.
For those who want to identify as a male teacher.
That is so modern. Dude, that's like 10 years in front of me. I can't even.
It is for those that want to identify as a, for those actually really, for those that want to identify as a stereotypical male teacher, old school male teacher.
That's fair. You know,
well, it is fair. Well, but the smell my beard is not fair trade, but Miss Your Face is, it's also fair trade.
Miss Your Face is like,
I'm good at making up these things, eh? Like, it just like, I'm nailing these. Like,
Big Eddie Macho, Smell My Beard is 1980, right? Ooh. And then Miss Your Face is so 2042. Like, it's so way in front of us. It's unbelievable. What I just thought? Smell My Beard has to have some gasoline smell to it, too.
Mm,
to cigars. Remind you of those V8 engines and those big Pontiac Parisienne cars and stuff.
You know, like, who we could get to be the spokesperson for Smell My Beard?
Who?
Do you remember there was like that picture going around Facebook of the dude driving with his family? It was like in an SUV with a pipe. Just drive. That's a niche joke.
That's pipes in the car, yeah, bro.
Either that or the garden gnome. One of the two. The garden gnome's
boring.
The garden gnome would be good. The garden gnome would be good.
The pipe is something. The pipe is. I love my prop pipe. Even my kid, both of my boys are like, "Dad, you're an idiot." Tell me more about this.
Tell me more.
And they're like, "Why do you what?" So William, the youngest, is such a, they're both good kids, but he's so pure. Dad, you smoke? Dad, do you smoke? I'm like, no, I don't smoke. Why do you have a pipe? I'm like, it's a prop pipe. He's like, what? I'm like, years ago, before we had children, one day I said to my wife, can you buy me a pipe? I want to use it for pictures and stuff. And she's like, okay. So the little one's like, Dad, my dad smokes. Like, his whole world's falling apart. I'm like, I don't smoke. Then my oldest one is more into the humor. He's more, he do silly things like that too. Mm-hmm, so he gets it. But the youngest is like, you should have seen him the first time I pulled it out for a picture. Oh my God, Dad, you have a pipe? You smoke? Mom, Dad smokes? And like, just off the rails. No, I don't smoke. It's for pictures, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just play one on TV.
Smell my beard. Oh, now I'm thinking of my childhood. I can smell charcoal from the barbecue. Mm-hmm. I can smell my dad starting the car. It's just gasoline everywhere.
when there was still a choke, when there was still a choke on the car.
There wasn't on this one.
It's funny. My dad's Chevy Nova had a choke.
They had an orange
Chevy Nova. And also we had a Mazda GLC little compact car, and I'm pretty sure there was a choke on that too.
Wild, eh?
Yep. Back in the day, bro.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you and to all our Decoded listeners. Mm-hmm. If you use code Thanksgiving 2021.
2042.
I guess I'm gonna have to change it now in the code, but
rebrand it because guarantee we'll get the discount coupons out by 2043.
If you want Smell My Beard, the code is Thanksgiving 1980. If you want, what's the other one called? Where's your face?
Miss Your Face.
Where's your face? If you want Miss Your Face.
Well, that's the subproduct. That's actually the acne and blemish remover.
Miss Your Face?
No, Where's Your Face?
Oh, where?
It's also a line of eyebrow massage oils. You know who just got like a bit of a headache? Stephen Hurley. Stephen Hurley just like, oh, there's something going wrong in the podcast ether. What is going on? He just got a migraine. He's like, these guys.
Obi-Wan Hurley. Yeah. Yeah, he's feeling the podcast forces. He's like, he's dying. He's on his knees, and everybody around him is like, what's wrong? He's like, it's something wrong.
Someone is messing with their content.
It's just smelling my beard, bro. It's all good, Stephen. Yeah, okay, good. Well, Ramona's got, look at this. 5 laughing, crying faces.
That's good. She's the one person in the front row that we just keep telling jokes to. Right? Yeah, all the sort of auditorium lights are down, and we just have enough light from the stage to see Ramona there laughing at the ridiculousness, and we're happy.
And we know that Ramona because of her perfume. Eau de Turkey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I think it's time to shut it down.
We're going
to
shut it.
We need Ramona to stop laughing. She's got turkeys to deal with.
And Stephen, you'll be okay. You'll be all right. The headache will pass. We're about to shut down, so the headache will pass.
The podcast force will now return to balance.
Mm-hmm. Season 5, episode 4.
Hey, thanks for doing that. Usually I do that.
Sorry, bro.
No. Listen. You're about to take a hike. Go smell a beard, okay?
Yep, I'm out.
Okay, peace.
Ciao.